As we continue the series, Summer of God's Love, a love for the Word of God, a love for the Word of God. And just something the Lord really just began to speak to me this week as I was preparing. Just listen to this, and then I want to expound upon this. Daily meditation of the Word of God, daily meditation of the Word of God will result in building a solid foundation for every area of your life. It also will result in an impartation of the Word of God in you, which will result in a manifestation and a demonstration of the power of the Word of God through you. Let me say it one more time. Daily meditation of the Word of God will result in building a solid foundation for every area of your life. It will result in an impartation of the Word of God in you, which will result in a manifestation, a demonstration, an activation, if you will, of the power of the Word of God through you. We know from Jesus' words in John 10:27 and John 8:47 that as his sheep, we are to know his voice. It is the birthright of a born-again believer to hear the Word of God. And listen, yes, God has spoken here, and this is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And everything that we hear from God should match up with this. If you hear something and you think it's from God and it disagrees with this, then it is not the Word of God. And so we know that, but God speaks in three ways, really. He speaks through his Word. Pick up his Word and he'll speak right there, right off the pages. That Word will come off the pages. He speaks through the Holy Spirit, which Pastor Matt talked about at steak night. He speaks by the Spirit of God, and then he speaks through the people of God, which is the Word of God and the Spirit of God flowing through the people of God to speak to one another what God is saying. I want to share with you a passage, and normally I'm in a passage, I'm there, and I come out of that, and that's where I'm at, but I want to share with you this biblical principle of meditation on the Word of God and what it results in. But I'm going to read out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I will stand my watch, and I will set myself in the rampart, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. It will not tarry. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not tarry. And then he says, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I pray that today that you would give us a love for the Word of God. I pray, Father, that we would leave here loving your Word more than ever before, and that you would give us a love not only for the Word of God, but to hear the Word of the Lord to us specifically. I pray that you would speak through me. Jesus, I acknowledge without you I cannot do anything, but I also declare that with you we will hear from heaven today. Anoint our ears to hear what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love your word or your law, O Lord. It is my meditation all day. Paul wrote Timothy from prison in Rome, his second imprisonment right before his death. He said, Timothy, the day's coming when men are not going to want to hear the truth, and they're going to draw around them teachers to hear what their itching ears want to hear. But he said, young man, he said, you proclaim the word of God. You speak the truth of the word of God, because that's what people need to hear. No matter what happens, you don't get away from it. As I was praying, and as I walk in here and I see what God has done just in the natural, but also as I hear the reports of what God has done so much here. But I feel like that there's so much more that God wants to do. I feel like that you're right there, and all these great things have happened, and we need to celebrate and thank God for them. But we don't need to stop there. We need to look ahead and see what's yet to come. There's so much more yet to come. You see, Habakkuk found himself right in between the promise of God and the fulfillment of the promise of God. And as I was praying, the Lord led me to Joshua 1, where Joshua had gone through so many things. Moses had died, but they had come out of Egypt. They had come out of slavery, but they were looking ahead to the promised land. They'd experienced the power and the deliverance of God. They'd experienced the miracles of God. They could have stopped and celebrated in that, but yet God said, I want you to go further. I want you to enter into the promises that I have for you. Every promise, not just part of it, but every promise. And so they were right there on the brink, and here's what he told him. He told him the same thing. He says, you be strong and courageous. You meditate on the book of the law day and night. You don't turn from it it doesn't matter if the rest of America is going here. It doesn't matter if another church is. You stay on the Word of God, and you declare what the Word of God says, and you do your best to walk in the Word of God. And if you do, if we do, we will be successful wherever we go. And so I want to share that. And then Ephesians 6, I want to talk about at the end if time permits. But let me just say this. How are we going to get to that place where we have a love for the Word of God and where we have a love for hearing the Word of God? First of all, we got to get in a position to hear the Word of God. I love what Habakkuk says. He's in the middle of everything that's going on. Babylon's rising up in power. Assyria's been giving them all kind of trouble. It looks horrible. They're between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. But Habakkuk says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to watch and see what he will say to me. Do you know God wants to speak to you? God wants to speak to you personally. I grew up in a church where we were taught God didn't speak. He just spoke in his word and that was it. But I remember as a kid, God speaking to me. I remember sitting in a rocking chair and rocking and singing the hymns of the church. And the Holy Spirit, I didn't know what was going on, but God spoke to me. I remember as a kid, different times that God would speak very clearly and I would hear the voice of God. You see, God's still speaking today by his word, by his spirit, through his people. But if we're not in a position to hear the word of God, we will not hear the word of God. It's like the story of, there was back when the telegraph was the fastest means of long-distance communication. That's before texting, Snapchat, instant messaging. Some of you are probably going, what's Morse code? I don't even know what that is. But it was back during that time when there was a job that was put up and said, we're looking for a Morse code operator. And so this one young man walked into this room, and there was a room full of probably six or seven other applicants that were waiting. And there was a sign there that said, fill out a thing. And then when your summons come in. And so he sat down there and he filled out his thing. And he was the last one to come in, and everybody else had already filled out theirs. And they were waiting. Well, within a few minutes after filling it out, all of a sudden he got up. And the audacity of this young man, he walked right up to the door and opened the door and went right into where they were going to do the interview process. And he walked right in, and everybody's looking around going, well, who does he think he? I mean, he just got here. My God, we've been waiting here forever. And he went in there, and so they're mumbling amongst themselves. And all of a sudden, a little bit later, here he comes out, and he comes out with the guy that was doing the interview. And here's what he said. He said, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming. But I want to tell you that the job has been filled by this young man and the other applicants. Well, they began to grumble and say, well, what do you mean? He was the last one here. And then the employer, he responded. Here's what he said. He said, all this time you've been sitting here, he said, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you're interested in the message, come in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, and therefore the job is his. That's how we are with God sometimes. Why is God blessing that person over there? Why is God blessing? Well, my goodness, it seems like everything they touch turns to gold. You've seen it. What's going on? And yet, you know, why do they hear God? Because they've got themselves in a position. And in this world we live in, it's hard to get away from the distraction of social media. I mean, it used to be you could at least go to the bathroom and, you know, get away from everything. Now people take everybody with them. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth. But get away and get in a position to hear the word of God. You were created to hear the voice of God. Adam and Eve enjoyed the sound and the voice of the Lord, and sin came into the picture. Well, how do we do that? Well, we meditate on the word of God. The Hebrew word for meditate, I love this. This is awesome. And what time do we need to finish? Because the thing's not, okay, you just let me know. Meditate on the word of God. The Hebrew word, it's much different than our word meditate. We think of the word meditate as in the English as some mental exercise, but it goes much further in this. What they would do back then, they had this thing, this Jewish practice called davening. And what they would do is they would recite the scripture, and they would pray intense prayers, and they would get lost in the presence of God, and they would rock back and forth. Anybody like to rock? I love to rock. They would rock back and forth, and they would just quote the word of God. They would quote the word of God. See, we're in a society today where what we speak of is often not the word of God, but what we speak is often what others are saying about us, or what we feel like others are saying about us, or what we think of ourselves, which is not so good. And we speak those things, and people even post those things about how they feel. But loved ones, meditating means taking the word of God and saturating yourself with the word of God, speaking the word of God over you. Never has there been a time where we are in a better position to saturate ourselves with the word of God. And yet so few people take the time to get in a position to hear God. I want to challenge you to meditate. Speak what God says. Quit speaking what the world says. Quit speaking what others are saying. Quit speaking those things that have been put in you from a child that weren't some of them so good, and begin to speak what the Word of God says over you and meditate on that. The other thing I would challenge you to do is listen with expectation. Listen with expectation. I love the story of Samuel. Samuel, he didn't know the voice of God. He didn't know the Lord, but his mama had dedicated him and took him into the temple, and he was there ministering before the Lord. And as he was ministering before the Lord, God spoke to him. He didn't know the voice of God. He thought it was Eli. He ran out. Hey, Eli, did you speak to me? Eli's sleeping. No, Samuel, wasn't me. Go back to sleep. He goes back in. Samuel, Eli, no, it wasn't me. And then he tells him, he says, the Lord's speaking to you. And if he comes back again, you say, speak, for your servant is listening. And so sure enough, he went back, and as he snuggled into bed, God came and said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel responded, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then you know what he did? He got still and he heard the voice of God. We've got to listen with an expectation. Meditate on the Word of God. Set a time and a place where you get into the Word of God. But don't just set a time and a place where you get into the Word of God and then leave it there and say, hey, I read my chapter a day to keep the devil away, all's good. You take that Word with you, you meditate on it, and the second thing I want to challenge you to do is write it down. I love what Habakkuk said. I keep saying Haggai. What Habakkuk said, he said, write the vision. The Lord said, write the vision, make it plain that he may run who reads it. Write the vision, write what God says about you. You see, daily meditation of the Word of God will result in building a solid foundation in every area of your life. Amen? A solid foundation. You guys know more than anything down here. You've got the beaches and the sand, and you've got the storms that come in, and just quickly, a storm can come in like that. Everything's calm, and then here comes a storm. You know what Jesus said about building your foundation or your house, your life? You can build it on a rock, or you can build it on the sand. If you build it on the sand, when the storms of life come, it's going to knock it down. It's going to knock down your life. The reason we have trouble in life, the reason we struggle going from one depression to another or one discouragement to another or one defeat to another is in those moments we have built ourselves not on the solid foundation of the Word of God, but we built it on a very unstable foundation of something else. And so when we meditate, we build a strong foundation, and the storms come, the winds blow, you get a call, oh no, you get a medical report that's not so good, all of a sudden a tragedy happens, and all of a sudden, yes, it hurts, and yes, there's pain, and yes, there's sorrow, but you're able to stand through the storm because you build a solid foundation of meditating on the Word of God. Because see, the moment that storm comes, if you meditate on the Word of God, that's what comes to you. The Word of God comes to you and speaks. I know what it looks like, but this is what God said. If you don't meditate on the Word of God, then everything else comes to you that you've been meditating on. And you will not stand. I love the story of there was a farmer that was looking for a hired hand, and he put up a thing, you know, looking to hire somebody, and a guy came in and said, I'm your man for the job. And he said, oh yeah. He said, can you do this or that? He said, I can sleep well on a stormy night. Can you do this and that? Sir, I can sleep well on a stormy night. What about this and this? I can sleep well on a stormy night. The guy decided to hire the young man, and he hired him, and sure enough, there was a storm that came up, and the cattle had been out, and the equipment was out. It came up unexpectedly, and he ran down to the room to get the boy. The door's locked. He beat on the door, tried to wake the boy up. He didn't wake up. He went out, and he ran to where the cattle was and all the animals, and they were already in the barn. And then he ran to where all the equipment was, and it was already in the barn. And then he understood what the young man meant when he said, I can sleep well on a stormy night. Can you sleep well on the stormy night when the storms of life come? Do the storms of life take your faith, or does your faith take the storms? Build on a solid foundation. It comes through meditation on the Word of God. I love the story of Jesus. Let me illustrate biblically the story of Jesus. Jesus comes to his disciples and he said, let's get in the boat. We're going to the other side. What does he do? He goes down below and goes asleep. Why? Because they're going to the other side. He's got experienced fishermen on the boat. All of a sudden, a storm comes out of nowhere, and it must have been a horrific storm. And as the storm comes and it's beating against them, the waves are beating, and they think they're going to die. They run down and they wake Jesus up and say, Lord, are you going to let us drown? Are you going to let us perish? Oh, ye of little faith. And he got up and he spoke to the storm. But see, he had already spoke to the storm when they got in the boat. He said, we're going to the other side. If Jesus tells you you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. He didn't say it wasn't going to be bumpy. He didn't say there wasn't going to be water in the boat. He didn't say there weren't going to be times that you felt like you weren't going to make it. But he said, we're going to the other side. Loved ones, when we meditate on the word of God, all of a sudden we get an impartation. You're going through a difficulty, and all of a sudden you've got a peace that passes understanding. Where did that come from? That came from meditation and an impartation of the word of God. The Bible says you'll keep him in perfect peace who has his mind stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Meditation results in a solid foundation. I've got peace. I've got joy. It doesn't matter what I face. Yeah, I don't like it, but I'm going to make it. We're going to make it. Hey, baby, I don't know how we're going to make it, but God said we're going to make it. We're going to the other side. Anybody? Amen. Anybody going to the other side? Hallelujah. And so build a solid foundation. There's an impartation that takes place there. And you know what else? If you meditate on the people say, well, I can't help it. I just fall into sin. Well, the reason you fall into sin because you're meditating on the sin instead of the word of God. See, Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How many know it's hard to sin when you spend time in the word of God? How many know it's hard to sin when you're quoting the word of God? How many know it's hard to sin when you're meditating on the word of God? All of a sudden, what happens? You go into a situation and the word of God's been in you and it's growing in you, and all of a sudden there's temptation and the devil says, here it is. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, whoa, 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 it's written, word of God. Hey, whoa, stop. It makes it no fun to sin, right? Meditation builds a solid foundation. I challenge you to take every area of your life and to see what God's will is concerning that area. Let me just give you an example. God has a perfect will for every area of your life. Your physical health. You know, people talk about at the beginning of the year, I'm going to do this. New Year's resolutions. Don't make a New Year's resolution. Make a life resolution. You know what? The Bible says, long life will he give me. Well, you know, he's not going to give us long life if we don't take care of ourselves. Amen? And so, God, what do you want? My body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to eat? How do you want me to exercise? And so begin to write that. Seek the Lord. Find out financial goals. Pastor talked about it, your first fruits. You're never going to be blessed. You may have some success. Listen, you may have some success, but you'll never experience the blessing of the best that God has for you if you do not present your tithe and your offering, your first fruits to God. He'll bless you financially. You may have personal things that God has put in you, professional success. You want to be the best employer or the best employee and set specific goals spiritually, growing closer to the Lord. So many things. And so write the word of God. And then here's what I want to challenge you to do. After you've written the word of God, you got to fight with the word of God. Paul told Timothy, you know those prophecies spoken about you? Timothy's in the heat of the battle. People are turning away from the faith. People are going after trying to hear a gospel that's no gospel at all, drawing people around them to say what their itching ears want to hear. And you know what Paul says to Timothy? He said, you know that word that was spoken over you? Son, now it's time to follow it. It's time to fight with it. And when you fight with it, you're going to make it. So you can't just take the word of God and write it down. You got to put it in front and you got to fight with it. Whenever a situation comes, you got to say, listen, the word of God says. Meditation, all of a sudden what happens? It becomes a solid foundation and there's an impartation. So when I'm in a situation where the enemy's coming against me, all of a sudden there's a manifestation of the word of God. It activates the word of God. Isn't that what happened to Jesus when he was in the wilderness and the devil came? Because he was the incarnate word of God. We get the word of God in us through meditation. And when the enemy came, he said, it is written. Then here comes the devil. It is written. A different situation. It is written. Yes. Fight with the word of God. What has God said about you? What has he said? Because that's what matters. Amen. Yes. Not what you think, not what your mom and dad said, not what someone else says, but what has God said about you? And he said so much in his word, but he also wants to speak to you specifically. And then let me challenge you with this. Joshua, God comes and says, Moses is dead, the past is over, you're going into the promised land. I'm sure he had to be scared to death. He said, but if you'll be strong and courageous. You know he had to be scared to death because four times God tells him be strong and courageous. You get the idea? He's a little, but all of a sudden he speaks. He said, meditate on the word of God, the book of the law, day and night, and don't turn to the right or the left, and then you will enter it, and I am with you. I'm going to go with you. And here's the cool thing. In the New Testament, there are two words for the word of God. There's the logos and there's the rhema. The logos is the written word of God. The rhema is the activated word of God. In other words, the word becomes active. How many know we need to go from the word being here to the word being here? From the word being on a written page to living out the word of God. And so that's what we come to in this final thing is live your mission boldly. There's a manifestation, there's a revelation, there's an activation, there's a demonstration of the word of God. And I want to show that to you in Ephesians chapter 6. Everything God has for you, the devil is going to try to fight to keep you from it. Did you hear that? Everything that God has for you, the devil's going to do everything he can to do what? To keep it from being fulfilled. We've seen the parable of the sower. He comes and he steals the word from them, right? You're going to hear the word of God today, just like every week you hear the word of God in this church. You're going to walk out those doors and the devil's going to meet you sometimes before you ever get out of here. And he's going to try to take that word of God from you. That word has got to go from being here and being notes on a paper or something in your mind to being deep in your spirit and coming out of that something that you can fight with, something that you can believe in, something that you can hold on to, and something that you can see fulfilled. There are some of you here today, God spoke to you years ago, and those dreams have been buried. And some of you have even said, it'll never happen. I missed the opportunity. But I'm here to tell you today that God resurrects his dreams that he put in you and that the word of God will be fulfilled if you allow it to be activated in your life. Now let me share this. Ephesians 6, here's the passage. He talks about the full armor of God. Paul is writing from his first Roman imprisonment. He is probably chained to a Roman soldier. He looks at all the attire. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to him, and it's a powerful message. I'm sure pastors taught on this many times. There's all the pieces of armor, but I want to talk about two. It says here, if you read in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the belt of truth, or with truth. The loin belt of the Roman soldier was the ugliest piece of armor that there was. Everything else about his armor was flashy. I mean, it was the best. But that loin belt was just a belt. Or was it? You see, that loin belt held every other piece of armor in place. If the belt came off, not only were the pants coming down, but every piece of armor was going to fall to the wayside because of the way it was set up. Paul says the loin belt represents the word of God. Your life will fall apart if you try to live it apart from the word of God. If Sunday's the only day we're opening this thing up, we're going to have some difficulties. If Sunday's the only time we hear the word, we're going to have some difficulties. I want to challenge you to be people of the word of God. Know the word of God. Meditate. What does that mean? Say it over and over, rocking back and forth, speaking the word of God, memorizing the word of God, declaring the word of God. Amen? There's what? There's that meditation that leads to what? It leads to a solid foundation, whatever you face in life. It leads to an impartation that when you're in a situation, the word of God comes up. It leads to a manifestation, demonstration, activation, whatever you want to call it, and the word of God becomes real. Now, that's where the second part of this is. I love this because it's almost like, Paul, did you mess up here? Because we go down to verse 17, and it says the helmet of salvation, and then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But there's a different Greek word there. It's the word rhema. In other words, it was logos, the written word of God. Now it's the rhema word. It's the activated word of God. See, God not only wants to get the word in you, but God wants to get the word flowing out of you on a daily basis. So whatever situation you face, you're in a situation. What do? Boom, the word of God says. The Holy Spirit brings it up and gives us understanding and insight and speaks specifically to us. Let me challenge you with this. Romans chapter 4, you can read it later. I'm not going to read it now, but Romans 4, 16 through 25, there's three things that flow out of this. And when he talks about Abraham, it's believe the word of God. Believe God at his word. Speak the word of God by faith. And live Listen, this is real important because we can believe it and we can speak it, but live as if it's a present reality in your life, and it will become. There was a missionary years ago told this story. Her name is Lisa Groves, and she was a missionary in Brazil, and there was a widow there that had very little money, and she literally had got to the place where she could only buy either bread or milk for her children. And so she prayed for hours. She read the word for hours. She meditated. She was in the presence of God. God, what do you want me to do? God, take care of my babies. God, what do you want me to do? I'm sure she quoted scriptures like, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. I'm sure she quoted scriptures like, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'm sure she was speaking the word of God. God, you're faithful. You've been faithful all these years, but God, what do you want me to do now? And the Lord spoke to her and said, you go to the supermarket, the El Dorado, and you get enough groceries for 3 months. But Lord, I don't have enough money to pay for it. Don't you worry about it. You get enough groceries for 3 months, and I want you to go to aisle 7, and that's where I want you to check out. And so she went to the store, and you can imagine she's filling carts full of groceries that she can't pay for. But she's what? She's had a meditation in the presence, and all of a sudden there's been an impartation, and she's got a word from God. So she fills it all up, and she gets up there, and she's in aisle number 7. And as she gets up there, the light's on, the light goes off, and the guy said, I'm taking a break, go ahead and step to the next aisle. And she said, no, I'll wait till you get back. No, go ahead. No, my father told me to come here. And so went on break and came back and was shocked. There she was. She was still there. Went up, turned his light on, began to ring things through. And just as soon as he finished, an announcement came over the speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for shopping here, and we want you to know that today we're celebrating our 7th anniversary, and the person that is in checkout aisle number 7 checking out right now gets all their groceries free. One word from God will change your life. One word from him will change everything, but that'll never happen if we don't meditate, if we don't have a discipline and a commitment to meditate on the word of God. Let me close with this. I just got just a couple minutes. Secret to hearing the word of the Lord. Is getting in position. All right, let me talk again how to do that. We get in the spirit. I love what John said in Revelation. He was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You've started the week off right because where are you at? You're in the house of the Lord. You're getting in the spirit. You're at a church that will take you into the presence of God. You're in a church that preaches the word of God. You're at a church that shows a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God, that believes that the same God that did all those things in the Bible is the same God today, and he can do it today in your life and mine. Aren't you thankful you're at this church? You could be. Come on, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. So get in the spirit, and not just on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday as well. There are things that you'll never hear by God if you don't take time to meditate and get in the spirit of God. The second thing is to set an appointment and keep it. Make a time with God. I love that Hannah took Samuel and put him before the Lord, and every day Samuel ministered to the Lord. He didn't even know the word of the Lord was rare. Most people weren't hearing God, but every day he would go and he would minister to the Lord and minister to the Lord and minister to the Lord. And how know all of a sudden, as he ministered to the Lord, one day God came to him and said, hey, Samuel, I want to tell you something that's going to blow everybody's mind. And he laid it out. And you know, out of that ministering to the Lord, the Bible says that as Samuel was a prophet of God, God did not let any of his words fall to the ground. And God used him powerfully. Read the word of God. This Bible is God-breathed, every bit of it. Genesis to Revelation. It'll thoroughly equip you for every work, every season of life, if you'll follow the word of God, if you'll meditate on the word of God. But you got to read it. You got to get in it. You got to go over it. And then listen expectantly. I love what he says. Speak, Lord, for your servants listening. And one final thought. Don't allow past experiences or present pressures or feelings keep you from hearing the still small voice of God.